That should be your sound effect every time he makes you roll your eye.
Button C, got it. All right, now I'm putting. Play the right one. Welcome back to this week's episode of the Wellhouse Exorcism. This is your ghost host, most Shanna. Girl at one time. I am not cutting any of that. Who are you?
I'm Pukwa PJ.
And?
I am not Nurse Jackie today.
No. Yeah. What are you today?
I am Area 51 Jackie. Waiting for that knock on my door to get taken away.
It's okay. Upstairs we have Sophie and her cousin, so we'll take them first.
Her cousin's gone.
Oh, Lillian left?
I don't know when. She's not up there.
And who's she talking to?
See, they already came.
She's
with
on
daughter.
VR.
Oh. Okay.
She's talking to people.
Well, the men in black already took somebody, so we're fine.
We already lost one child today.
Fine. Well, not Nurse Jackie. I know that you're concerned about the men in black coming to get you. So paranormal expert Carrie gave me this book, and it's called Alien Encounters. True Life Stories of UFOs and Other Extraterrestrial Phenomena by Rupert Matthews. Thank you. You know, a couple weeks ago I said phenomena and you did not do.
I know. I was tempted.
I did it in the car for you, though.
Thank you. I actually thought to myself, someone out there, namely Jackie and Carrie, are going to do for me. But anyway, so she let me borrow this book so I could read you a story.
Okay.
So... So out of the book, it's Encounter Casebook number 11, and the type is Men in Black. The date is September 11th, 1976. The place is Orchard Beach, Maine, and the witness is Herbert Hopkins. You ready?
Yep.
Hopkins was in September helping with the witness, David Stevens, who had seen a UFO in bizarre circumstances the previous October. On September 11th, Hopkins' wife and children had gone out for the evening when he received a phone call from a man claiming to be vice president of the New Jersey UFO Research Organization. The man said he was in the area and asked if he could drop by to discuss the Stevens case. Hopkins agreed. Just moments later, the man arrived. He was dressed in an immaculate black suit with sharply creased trousers, black hat, black shoes, black tie, gray gloves, and white shirt.
He started singing Getting Jiggy with It.
No. Hopkins let the man in and asked him to sit down. The man removed his hat to reveal that he was totally bald and that his head and face had a pale, whitish color. The two men chatted for some time about UFOs in general and the Stevens case in particular. Hopkins noticed that his guest spoke in a curiously flat, emotionless monotone. Odd as this was, even stranger was the fact that the man was wearing lipstick that came off on his glove when he brushed his lips with his fingers. Suddenly, the man asked Hopkins for a coin. Hopkins handed it over and watched in great surprise as it vanished from the man's open palm. The man then explained that he could make a heart vanish from within a human body, just as he had made the coin disappear. He then ordered Hopkins to stop working on the Stevens case and to destroy all his files and information. By now thoroughly terrified, Hopkins agreed. The man then began to slur his words. He stood up abruptly and announced, "My energy is running low. I must go now." Walking stiffly and with apparent difficulty, the man left the house and went out to the driveway. Hopkins saw a bright bluish light that he took to be a car headlight. When Hopkins' family arrived home, he told his wife of the strange visitor. Together they inspected the drive and found odd markings unlike those that would have been left by a car or motorbike. Hopkins quickly discovered that there was no such thing as the New Jersey UFO Research Organization. Deeply worried about who or what his visitor might have been, Hopkins dropped the Stevens case and destroyed his files. So now that you have that story about men in black who can make a heart disappear, tell me your stories, Area 51 Jackie. First of all, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for asking. You're welcome. I'm a little paranoid and scared, and researching this has freaked me out even more. I have issues with aliens to begin with because they scare the crap out of me. So I was like, yeah, let me just look into this because I know some stuff about some of the bases. And yeah, it took me down a couple rabbit holes and even some Nephilims, and that scared the bejeebers out of me. I literally jumped out of my car and probably scared a teenage boy at that point because he was walking in front of it. I was researching. So I was like, sorry, I didn't mean to scream and scare you, but you scared me.
I thought you were the Men in Black or Nephilim coming to get me, man. And he's like,
your tracksuit.
He's like, okay, someone needs to lay off whatever the cold meds she's taking.
So I guess we're going to just like kind of dive into it a little bit here.
Oh, yeah, let's go. By the way, paranormal expert Carrie is super excited about this.
Is she? That's yes. Awesome. Hi, Carrie. So Area 51 is located in Nevada. It's inside of Nellis Air Force Base. So it's a really gigantic base, but a little tiny spot of it is Area 51. Area 51 itself is a detachment of Edwards Air Force Base, which is located out here in California, which is one of the bases I used to work at. Nellis Air Force Base used to be referred to as Eastman Airfield, and it was established in 1940. Edwards Air Force Base was established in 1930, and both locations are near Death Valley. So both of these are like right around Death Valley, which is gigantic. There's other bases near there, which include Fort Irwin, which is the National Training Center and home of Goldstone Deep Space Communications. Fort Irwin is 7.1 square miles, and it's the National Training Center, which sees rotations of soldiers monthly. Good way to hide things, right?
Yeah.
You have all these people coming and going.
Rotate them out, baby.
It was actually established in 1844, and it became the NTC in 1979. Then there's also a Marine Corps logistics base in Barstow, which is not that far from NTC. And it's about 20 miles from there.
So they're all close.
There's another base out here called 29 Palms. It's also a Marine Corps base, and that's about 85 miles away from my computer just shut off, the National Training Center. My other computer. Okay.
That was the Men in Black, too.
We got to turn this off right now.
Not yet.
Shut it down.
So I've hit on, we have an Air Force base, we have the Army base, and we have a Marine base.
So they're all together, yeah.
There's three of them. The only thing missing is the Navy. Well, we have China Lake, which is up north of Area 51. Area 51 is, they call it the NTTR, which is the National or Nevada Test and Training Range, and it's Area 51's base. So all four of the military branches surround this, and I actually went really deep into this and figured out distances, and it's kind of crazy. So 29 Palms is 235 miles away from it. Fort Irwin is 158. Edwards Air Force Base is 206, and China Lake is 152. Those are driving miles. But if we were to hop on an airplane, because, oh my gosh, the Air Force is involved. Mm-hmm. China Lake to Edwards is only 55 miles, which Edwards has a very big runway. Fort Irwin to 29 Palms to Fort Irwin is another 85 miles. Fort Irwin has a lot of helicopters. And Edwards to Fort Irwin is only 75 miles. So they're all within less than 100 miles of each other by air.
Imagine how much faster you can get between those places using a UFO.
Right?
Whoa.
Whoa.
Right.
UFO.
Oh.
UFO. So on the backside of Area on the backside of Area 51 is nothing but mountain ranges. So you only have California side where all of these military bases surround it.
She said backside.
The backside.
It is not that kind of a podcast.
Not tonight, PJ. Not tonight. It's not that kind.
I don't know what podcast you want to run here, but I am not interested.
Okay, so as I said earlier, Goldstone is out at Edwards or Fort Irwin, and then Edwards Air Force Base has the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. So on that note, let me find the right paper here because millions of notes in front of me. Goldstone Deep Space Communication Centers is commonly called Goldstone Observatory, and it's operated by NASA's Jet Propulsion Labs. The main purpose is to track and communicate interplanetary space missions, and it's one of three satellite comm centers for NASA created in 1958. So that's kind of crazy that we have all these satellite dishes. But then JPL, the Jet Propulsion Labs, which is out on Edwards Air Force Base, is the robotic space exploration. So here
Ooh.
We go. Yeah, Goldstone is the Deep Space Communication Center, and it's operated by NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. and its main purpose is to track and communicate interplanetary space missions. It's one of three satellite comm centers for NASA, and it was created in 1958.
UFOs.
Then, all right. So as you can tell, it's run by JPL. Well, JPL is over on Edwards Air Force Base, and that one is robotic space exploration. So you have Air Force Base holding JPL, and you have the Army holding the communications. Hello, they're all right by Area 51.
Yeah.
Not okay with this. It's too close to me.
And I'm like, cool, because I'm on the other side of the United States.
Just need to come for you, too.
Hold up.
It's a three-day drive. We know we've done it.
Joke's on you. Yeah,
me, too. Me, too. I went back to Pennsylvania. So, with all that being said, it's insane if you think about it. Edwards Air Force Base is 301,000 acres big. It is in three counties. It's in LA County, Kern County, and San Bernardino County, which are all the biggest counties out here in California. That's just Edwards. Fort Irwin, they say it's 7.1 square miles, but I've been there. I know it's bigger than that. And the reason that they say that is because they don't want you to know everything that goes on out there. Mm-hmm. So a little history on Fort Irwin. I think it was probably, Jesus, going to age me here, 1993 or 94 when we were out there to get to the base.
Guess how old we were in 93.
You were just born.
No, we were 5.
7. Oh. No.
6.
6.
I win.
Yeah.
We were young.
Yeah, well, no.
Jurassic
I was getting
Park
married,
just came
okay?
out.
So it's like they have a road that goes out there, and they call it 10 miles, because it's 10 miles of street, absolutely nothing. Barstow is a good 20 miles away from the main gate, so they actually consider it a hardship tour for anybody staying there, because anything that far away from a town is a hardship. So there's a lot of stuff that goes on there, and then you have Op 4, which is a permanent, which is the opposing force. They go out and play a huge game of laser tag out there when the guys come in for training from other bases.
That'd be
fun.
And
then you have our live force, which is where they're actually going out and shooting live rounds out in the range. So in order to have an open range like that, you have to have a lot of square footage, because mm-hmm. you're shooting off cannons, you're shooting off the howitzers, you're shooting
Heck
off all
yeah.
kinds of stuff. So yeah, it's oh so much fun when your pictures are falling off your walls.
Well, yeah.
And the whole thing's shaking. You're like, no, that's not an earthquake, because you hear the
boom. Well, that happened here for us, though, because it was 4th of July, and the fire company was super excited because they had made a lot of money that year. We have a carnival that happens for the week over 4th of July, and we don't really mind them being rowdy, because that carnival is what makes them solvent
for the entire year,
which is pretty amazing. But they made so much money, they actually were shooting off like
fireworks and things.
But like it was like an M80 or something. Whatever it was, artwork fell off my walls, and my poor dad, like, he has PTSD, so...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, he thought he was back in Korea, and he was rolling my stepmom, Jen, under him going, stay down, stay down. And Jen's like, Bill, we're in Pennsylvania. Bill, it's 4th of July. Bill, we're in Jana's house.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah, there's a lot of soldiers that go through that. It's really sad. They have a huge base out there. They have what they call the Dust Bowl, which is where they go out and they do all their huge game of laser tag. It's really funny to watch we call them player toads, which are the ones that come in and do the training. To watch the player toads finally get to come in and go to Burger King and eat, and they're completely covered. They're just brown from the dust. And you're like, ooh, you're a little stinky. Can you go the other way? So that's that. I was out there for a little while, and then we got stationed out at Fort Sill, which is in Oklahoma. So that one was a little different, because we got to see the MLRS rockets and things like that go off. And then we went from there, and we went to Fort Bliss, which is very close to what the heck is that place? Where the alien spaceship fell? I have it
Roswell.
Written somewhere. Roswell. Yeah. So we were close to Roswell. So yeah, it's like, it's insane. Roswell, of course, you know, all the sightings out there. They also were all over the bases that are out there. But then when I came back to California, I've been kind of everywhere. When I came home to California in 2001, and I'll tell you why I made a face when you were reading that book. My first day of work at Edwards Air Force Base was 9/11, 2001.
Oh, so you did tell me that. I remember that now.
Yeah. So when you read 9/11, I was just like, holy crap, that's just a weird oddity.
I have a reconstruction of the alien autopsy for the movie Roswell, now housed at the International UFO Museum in Roswell, New Mexico, in this book from our paranormal expert.
Ooh. Ew.
Spoopy.
Ew. No. I'm okay.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Shanna, but I'm okay.
Hey, you're in charge tonight. I'm just sick and I'm on cold meds. I'm having a great time.
So per Britannica, it is at Area 51 is an Air Force base located in Nevada. It's a base in a base located on Grom Lake. Administrated by Edwards Air Force Base in 2013, the government finally acknowledged its existence. The Freedom of Information Act chronicled the history of the U-2 spy plane in 1955 in a remote site, which was Area 51. So they're claiming that a lot of the UFO sightings that happened there were from this U-2 spy plane. The U-2 could actually reach higher altitudes than any other planes that we had developed at the time, which would make sense. And then they also developed the A-12, which is the ox cart, and the stealth, and the F-1117 Nighthawk. So there were a lot of our planes that we use now. They were developed out at Area 51. The reason I kind of went into that with it is because the stealth...
I mean, the Nighthawk is cool.
Yeah. The stealth actually was made out in Lockheed, which is in Palmdale, which is only 30 miles away from Edwards Air Force Base. So we never knew that that was being built or test flown or anything out there, but they would do what they call touch and goes. And that's where they would, you know, take off on the plane and then they would swoop around and try and land back down. It would black out the sky. So all the stars would disappear and it was a perfect triangle shape. So everybody thought there were UFOs, just this black blank spot. And everybody was thinking it was UFOs. Well, come to find out it's the stealth the whole time. So things like that. That's why it's like when people say, oh, I saw this or I saw that. And it's like, you don't know what the military is testing and they're not going to tell us because it's to keep us safe. Logic. So that's one of the things, but it's really neat to now you can go out there and you can actually see the stealth do its touch and goes, which is a cool thing. Cause you don't even hear it. Like when it goes by you, you're just like, whoa, what the heck? And it's a huge plane. So it's really neat. But I also don't know if you guys know that California is the other window. If Florida cannot receive any of the space shuttles coming back in, they land out here in California, they land in the ocean and they actually get sent to Edwards Air Force Base. So I actually got to see the Challenger come through the base. Oh, I got to see all kinds of stuff. Yeah, it was it was really neat to see. But at the same time, you know, it's hard.
It's
to see
heartbreaking.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Edwards Air Force Base. Now we get into the weird stuff. Edwards Air Force Base. When you go in the main gate, you go across a really big dry lake bed, and that dry lake bed is meant to, if the shuttle comes in and they can't land it there, it's another safe place for them to land. You go across the dry lake bed and you land into the base. On the opposite side of the base are all the airfields, or all the runways. I started working there in 2001 and I was working in the daycare. So, you know, you hear all the moms and dads talking about all this cool stuff and, you know, this is going on the base and that happens on the base, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, I don't care. I just want to go home. But I heard a pilot talking about the flights that come in early in the morning. And I was like, what do you mean the flights that come in early morning? He's like, oh, don't worry. You won't ever see them. So my curiosity gets all the best of me. I was like, bet. So I came in. There's a back way to get into it. And it leads you out right by the runways. So you go in the other gate and you have to know the desert area of it out there to get there. So it was easy for me because I grew up out there. So I went in the back way and I was like, this is BS. I know it is. It's not. And it was like back about 4:30, 4:45 in the morning. And I noticed a plane going down the runway. All you could see were the red and white lights. And the plane was all white. There was no markings on it. There was absolutely nothing. I'm like, what is going on? So I see it take off. And I was like, maybe that was just a fluke, whatever. So I'm asking the pilot some more information. And he's like, oh, no. Those are the flights that go out to Area 51. Wait, what? What are you talking about? That's crap. You are. I'm sorry. I just said a bad word. Bleep. So I was like, no. That's not real. This is BS. I don't believe you. I don't believe any of it. So I kept digging and kept coming in earlier and earlier. And every day at the same time, the same plane would leave with no markings, solid white plane, would just take off and it would go. And then I started, okay, let me see what time it's coming back. So I would stay late until we would close the facility. I would even stay after, like, and leave about 9 o'clock and just hang out and do something. And then I would leave at like 9 and the plane would come back.
What time did the planes then come back? Did you happen to like find
out
what time?
They were coming back in between 8:30 to about 9 o'clock at night.
Okay.
So they were gone all day.
Yeah.
And as I started researching this now, it kind of made sense to me. I'm like, that's an actual workday for a person if you think about it. Hey, and especially a military person, they go in at 6 o'clock in the morning for PT. They don't get off until about 8 or 9 o'clock at night, especially being out on an airfield. So it mm-hmm. made sense. So all you have to say is, hey, I'm working for the government. Cool. Yeah. Bye. See you later. And they're off. And they don't ever say anything. And the one thing that you you learn being a military spouse is you don't ask questions. You don't ever ask mm-hmm. where they're being deployed. You don't, because you're not going to get a straight answer.
Yeah.
It just made sense. And then my son, who is, here we go, I'm going to age myself again. He's 26 years old. He is out of the Air Force. When I told him I was researching this, he's like, Mom, no. I could have gotten stationed there. And I said, what do you mean you could have gotten stationed there? He goes, I could have been stationed out at Area 51 or Nellis or any of those bases. He's like, but even for the military, Area 51 has a no flight zone. So if the military's own planes go over it, they can get in trouble for mm-hmm. it. I'm like, ew, that's freaky. I don't like that. It's like, so there's only certain planes that are allowed to go on there, which, gee, Edwards Air Force Base runs that area. So where do you think they're coming from?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now I sound like a conspiracy
theorist. There we go. We got it. Conspiracy
theorist. Did it.
I can't say it. Forget it. So I went on some other websites also. And space.com says the Area 51 is testing alien tech, like the one in Roswell, New Mexico. Mm-hmm. It's 120 miles north of Vegas. Area 51 name came from the designation that the base had on the Atomic Energy Commission's maps, but it's not used by the government. Area 51 was established in 1955 as part of the Nevada Test and Training Center, and it's also called Paradise Ranch.
Paradise Ranch.
And the reason
it's a great place to go
is it's an attempt by Lockheed to draw people to come out there and work on it. To be part of their stuff to work on it.
All right.
Today, the NTTC and the base are part of the Nevada National Security Site. Satellite images of the area are restricted and only one exists on Google from 2018. The base is small, but the restricted area is over 90,000 acres. And signs around the area stating deadly force authorized. The area is not fenced or marked except for orange poles and the signs. Kind of creepy.
Because everything's underground. You can't see it there. It's like Skinwalker Ranch.
There was a social media prank, and they were saying storm Area 51, and 6,000 people made it to the event, which ended up being a rave.
Yeah.
And quite a few, there was about 30 to 40 of them who took it seriously and did try to get into Area 51. And I think 7 arrests were made there.
Yeah.
So it's kind of crazy to think that. People still are trying to get out there, even though we know what it's about. But that's not our only secret base in the world.
Yeah, like, there's a whole
bunch
in the United States. Go ahead.
From what I've read, Area 51, like, not much actually happens there anymore because of how popular it is. You know, like a lot of it's like Dulce Base now, and a couple of the other bases around. There's one in PA somewhere. And
it's called Raven Rock.
Okay. Yep, there it is.
I did my research. I got it back to Pennsylvania for you. So bases that make the secret list are Raven Rock, Mount Weather, Cheyenne Mountain Complex, which is in Colorado, which my son was stationed out there. He's like, yeah, even there, we couldn't get into any of that area by that. Edwards Air Force Base and the Nellis Air Force Base, which is where Area 51 is. But Raven Rock, I have some information on it for you. Because I had to bring it back to Pennsylvania.
Okay. Now I'm like, okay, the Men in Black might come.
We're closer to me now.
No. You stay over in Nevada. No, I want to hear about it.
So
it's okay. If we end up like disappearing, if we're not on episode next week, just know that it's Jackie's fault.
It's all three of us are gone. That's it. Bye.
Carrie will have to take over. Carrie, take the torch.
So it says it's a sprawling subterranean hideaway for the Defense Department, also known as Site R. It's the alternate joint alternate joint communication center or Raven Rock Mountain Complex. It's described as the underground Pentagon, and it was blasted out in 1951 to 1953. It was meant to be used for the DOD in a nuke attack. Raven Rock has only been utilized in 2001, September 11th, when Vice President Dick Cheney was taken there. Raven Rock is currently fully staffed as a small city, and Raven Rock and Mount Weather are both, Mount Weather is run by FEMA, but they are both very similar and they work together in sequence. So
does it say where Raven Rock is located?
It does, but I did not write that down, but I'm sure I could find out really quick for you.
It's not really secretive, but like, tells us. Yeah, it's not around Bloomsburg. We're fine.
The thing is even like looking at the aerial shots of it, you cannot get to it because it's underground. Like it's just two holes in the mountain and it goes really deep into the mountain and all of the stuff. So I was like, okay, that's cool. But looking at that one, you could actually see the footage of it. So I went on Google Maps to try and walk through like even Edwards Air Force Base or Fort Irwin. And it is completely just granulated out. You can't see anything on those bases. It's insane. Like Fort Irwin, you can see where the freeway is. And because I've been there, I know which road to get off on. But that's it. There's nothing after that. You're just like, wait, what? What happened? It's all gone. It's just gone. So it was, and I think I sent you the picture I sent you a screenshot of the map that I was on and how big each area was. And it was just all of that red. You can't see anything on Google Maps on it. And I was like, whoa, that's kind of crazy.
It's down by Gettysburg, a place called Blue Ridge Summit.
There you go.
Gettysburg.
2.5 hours away.
Face.
it's uncomfortably close now. Let's go back to Nevada.
At least yours is the Pentagon is not housing aliens.
See, I thought it was in the Poconos. I thought it was a lot closer.
There's aliens in Pennsylvania.
So when I started this and I told people about it, they were telling me about the TikTok trend about the Nephilims and how Nephilims are supposedly housed in Area 51. The thing for me with the Nephilims is it was really confusing because I was like, are they giants? Are they angels? And if a giant was being housed underground and was alive and people knew that, do you really think he'd stay underground? No, he'd take over the world. So I'm like, but that was the thing that scared me the most, just because even going back before, you know, the belief in Christ, you had gods and goddesses and all of these things. And then you have Thor, who is the son of God, but his mother is a human. And I'm like, oh, so that's a Nephilim. Oh my gosh. Oh Lord, what am I going to, you know, so I went down this whole rabbit hole and then the kid from track walks in front of my car and I screamed really loud and he just looked at me like, what is wrong with you? And I was like, sorry, my bad.
I'm fine. I've just been doing some research on aliens, man. It's hitting hard. And he's like, okay, walking away now. Bye, crazy lady.
It was really scary to me. But out here, you see so many test flights and things happening that we don't think anything of it. And I think that's why California doesn't have a huge UFO presence, because we have so many bases that are doing test flights and all of these things, but that we just don't even think about it. You know, it's like, whatever. It's just them doing their thing again. But the secrets that you find out when you're on the base and the little rumors and all of that, when you dig into it, you're just like, oh, that's scary. That's really scary to think that that's happening. Mm-hmm. And security on Edwards Air Force Base on the one side where the runways are is a lot stricter than it is in the very front. So it's insane. You have to get through a lot of, you have to get through a lot of stuff to get there. And like I said, I thought the rumors, they were just rumors, but actually witnessing it, I'm good.
That was like with the whole Oceangate Titan sub thing back in the summertime. Like, that's when I legit started to believe that conspiracy theorists, you know, like, they get things right sometimes.
Sometimes,
yeah. That was creepy to actually see that, you know, and like the news people, I don't know, we talked about it on the show. I don't know if
we have a family member who was very much close with the Navy.
Yeah. And so anyways, like, we knew the Navy, like, we as in the government knew 15 minutes after the Titan sub imploded that it imploded. And so for all those days that the news was like, well, they might still be alive, but they're running out of air. Yeah. Like that was all just BS. That was all just garbage. So they could
make sure that T's were crossed and I's were dotted, so...
Yeah, the big theory was because they're all wealthy people is, like, to make sure that the lines of succession for their companies were set up before they announced their deaths to keep the stock from crashing.
It goes all the way across the board, because I had a friend who was over in Iraq, and they had put 15 soldiers from Fort Sill on the Chinook, and it was taking off to come home to come back to the States from Iraq, and it was shot down by a surface-to-air missile, and we didn't even know anything about it for weeks. But of course, you know, the high ups on the base knew that, hey, these soldiers passed away, and it was a big cover-up with it, like, across the board, though, and on how much they hide things from us and don't want to scare us, I guess.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear a story about hiding things from us until 2020?
Sure.
Because out of this book from from Carrie for Jackie, it's the Encounter Casebook number 3. It was called the USS Nimitz Incident, and it was a visual radar sighting, and it was just in November 14th, 2004. It also took place on the Pacific Ocean near the Mexican coast southwest of Tijuana. The witness would be Kevin Day, also Chad Underwood, and David Fravor. On November 14, 2004, radar operator Kevin Day on board the USS Princeton picked up some strange radar plots. Ooh. They seemed to come from an aircraft the size of a military jet, Whoa. The one that behaved very strangely. What? It would climb to 20,000 feet, then dive down to sea level before accelerating away at phenomenal speed.
Phenomenal.
At times, it would vanish from the radar screen entirely, only to pop up again miles away a second or two later. He asked his superiors if they could get an aircraft to go to have a look at the odd object. David Fravor was piloting his F-18 Super Hornet on a training mission flown from the USS Nimitz when he received a radio message from the Princeton giving him coordinates and asking him to go to investigate. A few seconds later, another radio message asked him if he was carrying any weapons. He wasn't, as he was only training, but the call concerned him. What was he being asked to investigate? As he arrived at the coordinates, Fravor saw a swirl of disturbed water on the sea surface. His first thought was that a passenger jet had crashed. As he dived down to get a closer look, Fravor saw a white oval object that he later likened to a gigantic tic-tac sweet. The object was hovering above the sea surface. It had no wings, nor, so far as Fravor could see, did it have rotors like a helicopter. Fravor tried to get his radar to lock onto the object, but without success. Then the object began to move. First it turned so that it was pointed toward Fravor, then began to climb towards him in a great sweeping curve. Fearing that the object was a military craft of some kind trying to train its weapons on him, Fravor went into a steep dive, turned abruptly, and climbed. He was now approaching the object at around 250 miles per hour. The object then turned sharply, passed behind Fravor's tail, and accelerated away at high speed. Fravor called upon the Princeton where Day had been watching events on his radar screen. Day reported that the object was still moving away at high speed. But it then vanished from the radar screen. Seconds later, it reappeared, now circling above Fravor at around 20,000 feet. Fravor began to climb, but then saw that his fuel was running low. He turned back towards the Nimitz, puzzled by what had happened. Meanwhile, another F-18 was approaching. Pilot Chad Underwood called upon Fravor to ask what he had seen. Fravor gave a quick update over the radio. As he approached the tic-tac object, Underwood picked it up on his forward-looking infrared FLIR camera. Underwood flicked the camera to record, and so preserved for posterity what came next. The camera video records an object about 40 feet long hovering at around 20,000 feet. It had clearly not moved since Fravor left the scene. The FLIR camera did not pick up any exhaust fumes from a conventional aircraft engine, nor any obvious heat sources on the object itself. After several seconds, the object moves off to the left, accelerating quickly to a speed that no U.S. military jet could reach. The object flew off, vanishing from both the FLIR and from radar. The video from the FLIR was declassified in 2020, along with two other videos that together became known as the Pentagon UFO Files. And on page 183 of the book that Carrie let us borrow, you can see a still from that video.
And you can Google it.
But I can show her the picture.
There you go.
The tic tac.
Tic tac, paddy whack, give the dog a bone.
Or in this case, just go home.
You know, at our STEM night at my school, we actually proved that you can make a tic tac like that fly. You can make hoop airplanes. So you take a straw, and then you just tape on a loop of paper on one end and on the other end. And so it looks like almost like an axle and two wheels. And you throw it, and it spins in the air.
Huh.
Yeah, so just saying. Aliens, man. Oh, boy. The gifted teacher in me is always like, it's possible. It's possible. Aliens, man. I just love that they declassified alien stuff in 2020. Like, yeah, COVID's a thing, and you guys are all sitting at home. You know what? Here, read this to make you feel better.
Here's some wacky videos that we've been taking.
There you go. Anything to cheer you up at this point. Yeah, aliens are real. Sorry, UFOs are real.
They never said aliens were.
What's flying them?
Yeah, that's the thing. They said, like, no country is laying claim to these things. And they're doing things that are physically impossible. So, like, what the heck are they then?
Aliens.
But are they physically impossible, PJ, if they're doing it?
I proved that a tic-tac can work.
According to, like, the current laws of physics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we would have to reevaluate how physics works for them to be a thing.
We need another Albert Einstein.
Like, for them to just go from a dead stop to just shooting forward. Anyone who's driving the thing would have their all their bones broken.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, you know, things like that.
And the lack of friction.
Yeah.
That amazes me that there's just no friction.
And they can, like, just dive underwater or disappear into a mountainside.
But if it's an if there's no gravity in the chamber, then if it stops, you're not going to know. You'll just be, like, kind of hanging out.
Woohoo! I'm all loosey-goosey. Well, I guess we'll have to just meet some men in black and have them put us on a...
Oh, God. You have no idea how scared I am at this.
So they can talk to us like this?
Yes, they can. Oh,
remember, their speech patterns are all weird.
Well, yeah, so they can... And he said, oh, my battery is running low? Yeah. My energy is running low. I need to leave now.
Like BEKs, they don't talk right.
Why, though? Like, why... You would think that they're educated people. And they know what they're covering up, so why wouldn't they sound educated? That's the thing.
Unless my first theory when I learned about the whole speech thing was, like, maybe they're, what if they are aliens, like, working with the government or something?
Oh, so you mean, you know? So Will
English
Smith
is a second language for them.
Yeah.
So, or...
They're English language learners.
Or they're watching the wrong YouTube videos, because I was looking up ways to lose weight. And so I found this video, and it's a woman who was, like, you know, losing weight after having her children. She does not speak normal English, I've decided, because she's holding a frap, or a frappe, if you want to call it that, for McDonald's. And she goes, I got my frappy right here. I don't always drink my frappies, but sometimes I do. And I'm like, a frappy? And she goes, and you know what? I felt awoke the whole time. And I'm like, awoke? So maybe Men in Black are watching the wrong TikTok videos. And so they're learning the wrong enunciations and the wrong words. There it is.
That's it.
Okay. What are your theories on why would there be Men in Black, though? Why would they try to wipe everybody's thing from this? Like, why wouldn't they want us to know?
That's a good question. Uh-huh.
Food for thought there. Yeah. I got to think about these.
All right. No, so I've been listening to the reptilians thing, right?
Robert Icke.
And so our reptile brain cannot handle that much knowledge, because everything in our lives would be a lie then.
Yeah, well, there is something about that, is like religion is such a huge part of society that, like, if you know, the people learn that there is another planet out there with intelligent life, they're gonna be like, well, we're not the only planet made in God's image then. And it will, like, hinder a lot of people's religious beliefs. There are a couple other things too, but yeah. I forget what some of the other theories are, but I remember reading a couple theories about all that.
They're just here to harvest us sometime. in the near future.
Okay, see, and then that's another question. Why would they want to harvest us? They're like these intelligent people. Why?
All right,
why?
Once again.
Even people who overeat.
Back to the reptilian idea. I got to buy the book. But children.
Adrenaline.
Yes. They want to harvest our, basically you're going to scoop out our pituitary glands because we got some good adrenaline going on.
Yeah. Children especially.
Mm-hmm. Torchwood got
Torchwood,
it right.
Torchwood, yep.
Children of Earth.
That makes no sense to me, though, because if they're that intelligent that they can create these spaceships, why can't they? I mean, we have created synthetic adrenaline, synthetic genes, synthetic hormones, all of this stuff. Why haven't they done that? What, they just were excellent in space travel instead of anything else? I'm going to get abducted tonight because I'm asking too many questions.
No, you won't. You don't have children's pheromones. You're fine. We're tired adults. They're like, oh, no, you're depleted. Never mind. You're fine. Want to go for around the Tic Tac? Come on.
I mean, it's also like, why do they probe people and, you know, leave bits of metal in them and drop them off?
Well,
again?
If you read this book that Carrie let me borrow, there's actually a comment that they're very interested in the reproductive organs.
Yeah.
I don't want to read that out loud on my podcast because it's not that kind of podcast, as I mentioned before. But if you listen to last podcast on the left, and I'm just saying this now because I'm like 95% sure they listened to my podcast because like 3-ish weeks ago, I want to say tops, one Marcus actually used the word egregore, and he's never, as far as I know, used the term egregore before, and I used it not too long ago on my podcast. So I think he's getting ideas for my podcast and we're flip-flopping here. So Marcus, shout out to you. Anyway, but he does a good job of explaining like...
Marcus, we want you on the show.
We do.
Come
but
visit.
You can't swear. I have a no swear policy. But so it's just the idea of like the reptilian race and how they came to our planet and, you know... They took over the world. And so a lot of white people actually are hybrids, are reptilian hybrids, which the whole thing is incredibly fascinating. I don't want to read the book, but I like hearing Marcus.
I don't want to be a lizard.
You could be. The fact that you're saying that you don't want to be means you probably are.
Do you find yourself sniffing with your tongue?
When I can't breathe through my nose, maybe. I mean, it makes sense. We turn into mouth breathers when our nose gets plugged. So.
Man, do we ever. I'm right there. Just can't be happy. I can't not have a cold. Stupid children. If only I could harvest their adrenaline. But I'm not a reptilian hybrid.
Don't know how that
do you think
would help
aliens built the seven wonders?
No.
Like
no.
The pyramids and stuff?
No.
So you think it was man who did that?
Yes.
But... if you've seen the documentary Ancient Aliens, uh-huh. It's no, not Ancient Aliens. That's the TV show. Chariots of the Gods.
Okay.
It's on Amazon Prime, and it's from like the early 70s. Like it's dated, but it has some fascinating things in there. Like mm-hmm. it has ancient Egyptian carvings of a man in a spacesuit on you know driving mm-hmm. a rocket ship and things like that. It's pretty incredible, some of the stuff that they had carved, you know, and like it looks like modern day astronauts and things like
that. It's the same thing with a lot of the Indian mm-hmm. Pictographs is it's a very small Native American and a very large person next to them. So to me, that's where the Nephilims come from, which could, hey, they could very well be aliens too, you know, and they could have built those things.
I like to imagine, like, this is me, like, I guess I feel old now, but, or maybe I read too much, but there's a lot of good literature out there, right? And a lot of dystopian literature, a lot of futuristic literature, and, you know, Brave New World. You know, you look at some of these okay. these stories, and, like, Adolf Huxley, for example, like, some of these books are, like, super dark, but you have this story of, like, different people going to the wild, to savage lands, to see what the world is like in other locations. And so I'm fascinated by like our modernish day writings, whether it's Brave New World or some other dystopian futuristic like Ready Player One. But so many of these stories have either like aliens or humans who are the top echelon of the civilization, going back to the savage lands, i.e. like you and me, like we're the savage lands, and like watching them live. Maybe the aliens come to see us, kind of like they're going camping. Like, oh, look at that. Driving with their cars using gas. Oh, isn't that that's so 20,000 years ago.
Yeah. It's like us watching black and white TV.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember the show from the 1940s?
Man.
The old sitcom.
This reminds me of my great granny, you know, when she was sitting on her UFO. Oh, I just feel like that's what's happening, you know, like that is what's happening. They're coming here and going, oh, look how far you've gotten in the last 3,000 years. Oh, you do you. Oh, nuclear power. Oh, I think that's what's happening.
Well, that's something else is like every time there's a nuclear disaster or anything with radiation, UFOs show up.
Yep.
Like en masse.
Really?
Yeah. When Fukushima happened in 2013, there were countless reports of lights in the sky and things like, and a lot of video footage too.
Okay, what if that's aliens? Like, they're the parents. You know, like when the kids like break a vase and you hear the glass shatter, and you run into the living room to check on them. Maybe that's them going, okay, what did you break this time?
Actually, that's what a lot of people believe, because like a lot of people think that the whole reason why Fukushima didn't melt down like Chernobyl was because they intervened.
The aliens caught it. Whoa, whoa. Yeah. Okay, whoo, put that back where it's supposed to be.
I'm looking it up.
Maybe we're half. See, we're reptilian hybrids. There it is. When I start popping out eggs, can you watch me start making a nest out in the back lawn? Is that how that works? Sophie wants a little girl.
You're like slithering around the eggs.
Sophie wants a little sister in the worst way.
What's wrong with mom?
I do that anyway. Get away. No touchy. So what other stories do you have? Or any other notes?
Stories that go along with it all. Like Seth was telling, my son Seth was telling me, he says that even as a Air Force person, if they're stationed out at Nellis, they're not allowed to know what goes on out there. They can't enter Area 51 at all. That there's a couple bases that are like that. It's not just there. And again, like PJ said, though, you know, it's, we know so much about Area 51 now, and everybody's trying to get in there, that I'm sure that they've moved a lot of the stuff away because somebody's bound to get in there. But it's the perfect spot.
If it is over here in Pennsylvania, listen. Remember a couple years ago when they were doing the super loads through Pennsylvania and everyone's like, super loads, and it was a joke? What if they were bringing aliens in? Ooh. And UFO was in? They pretended they were super loads, but they were not.
You wouldn't know if they were coming. How many times have you seen train convoys going by military vehicles?
Not because we've had super loads come through local, like even through Danville. And like it shut down roads and roads because they were bringing in these big silo pieces. And their reasoning was they were putting stuff in for like the pipelines and stuff, like, yeah, mm-hmm, sure. Aliens.
There you go. It's aliens always.
So PJ has pulled up the different alien sightings that happened around Fukushima.
Yeah, so this is from vice.com. And so like here's a picture of Fukushima and these guys up in the sky.
Tic tac paddywax.
But yeah, UFOs came after the explosion. There are so many of them. I was shocked, said the monk. In the fourth episode of Vice Studios Network's Netflix docuseries, Encounters, Lights Over Fukushima.
We gotta watch that now.
Yeah, that's how I heard about this. I knew that there were, like, connections between UFOs and nuclear disasters, but I didn't know about Fukushima until that episode.
Yeah, I would make sense. You know, that would make sense, though.
Andresen cited declassified U.S. government reports from agencies like the FBI and CIA about UFO sightings near nuclear site, saying she had looked at 39 different accounts between the 1940s and 1990s.
So it goes back to the 1930s when science and research was being done to understand fission, but then it really heats up in the 1940s, in particular right after the detonation of the first two atomic bombs in Japan, 1945. And then it's decisive. It's conclusive. You see one after another event occurring in proximity specifically to sites associated with nuclear weapons.
See, that is like mom and dad coming in. What'd you break this time? I heard the glass shatter. That's what's happening.
That would, I don't know. I mean, it would make sense too, because if they were part of this earth and they were part of doing things, they would want to make sure that we're going to survive. And especially if they're after our adrenaline, then, you know.
Well, exactly. Or inside us, since we're reptilian hybrids, we can't die because we are carrying their DNA. Hear me out.
I believe in some things, but that is just...
Well, and apparently in his newest book, he's like walking back the reptilian thing now. He's like, kidding, I was lying. Oh, David Icke.
Okay. I need your theory on this. Why would you think that they would put that out here in this landscape? I mean, Death Valley, yes, it's below sea level, all of these things, such a big spread out area, but it can be seen from any satellites, anything. It's like, why would they put all that out here? What is your theory behind that?
Well,
I think of just the Manhattan Project.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it started as the Manhattan Project and went on from there, but also just, and same reason as Manhattan Project, because it's like, it's just physically isolated from everything. You know, like, you could see people approaching from miles away.
Well, that, who wants to be out in 100?
I'll say, who wants to walk?
Exactly, no. There's that too. And so much of it, I'm sure, is underground, like the Dolce base too, you know, like, so much of it isn't visible from satellites.
Interesting.
And I, you know, if you look East Coast, we're so congested with people, you know. Sure, like, we live in Pennsylvania, we live in the rural sections of PA, but there's just so many people.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to hide an entire base. Oh, well, we have
one. Well, we have one. Well, but... even the Pentagon in DC, they said, like, when the plane hit it, like, they weren't going to make a large impact because all of it's underground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the building on top is not much. Everything else is underneath.
Do you believe in aliens?
I'm petrified of them, but I don't know if I believe in them.
See, I think it's very isolationist for us to believe that we are the only planet in an entire galaxy.
Yeah.
Of many, I just think it's impossible to think that we're the only intelligent life that exists.
Yeah.
Okay. I believe in the fact that we are not the only people out there or the only smart things out there. What I don't believe in is, why do they want to come study us?
Yeah.
Please just stay on your own planet. It's okay. It's like me going out in the middle of the jungle or, you know, like Africa and being like, come here, kitty, 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 kitty. No, no, no. I will stay out of your zone. You stay out of mine, you know?
But I want to pet it.
No, it's okay. It's okay. It's got very big claws and fangs. It can stay out there.
I'm going to go pet it. It's fluffy.
Don't touch the boat.
Come here, Bradford.
Bradford. I have a top hat for you. And Mickey Mouse ears.
Yeah.
No, my tombstone will say, are you surprised this is how she died? That's what my tombstone's going to say. Her last words were, ps, 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 come here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Well, I can say, now that he has passed away, my father, when he was alive, said I could neither confirm nor deny the existence of aliens, but we have basis for a reason. And he was a very devout believer in aliens and UFOs, to the point where the farm that he was creating, like, they were calling it the Area 51 farm. And then they had plans to make it, like, all UFO and, like, you know, crazy. But my dad was super high in the Air Force, like, had some clearances that others did not, and his friends had even higher clearances. So, like, I have to believe that aliens exist, because my dad, while he could not confirm nor deny, was kind of like, wink.
Well, so. Anytime anybody in the military says, I cannot confirm or deny, thank you for confirming it, because you just did.
Got it. Cha-ching. I don't think they're all, like, creepy green men, but I think that there are other things out there.
I don't think that they're anything like, I'm not discounting anybody's, what they've seen or what they've experienced. I think our brains have to compute what the unknown in something that we recognize.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So thanks to movies and all of this other stuff, it's a lot easier for me to say, I saw a little green man, than try to explain what I really saw, because people are going to look at me, if it's this gold shimmery or silver shimmery thing, they're going to be like, oh, so you saw a gray. No, I saw something else. You know, it's hard for our brains to compute and explain what we see. So I don't know. Maybe we see more than we think they are. And maybe they are. They look just like us. You never know.
Well, there's so many, like, different species of them, too.
I saw an alien today. A legal alien. PJ's dad.
Yeah.
PJ's dad's from England.
So when we actually figure out the name of the planet that they're from, we're going to be able to call them Plutonians because Pluto's a planet.
Yeah. Well, a lot of them have names already.
Did you hear him? He said yes. He agreed that Pluto's a planet.
Well, they can live on
Dwarf planet.
They can live on Pluto. That's fine.
Maybe they live in Pluto. Yeah. They're used to living subterranean.
He said yes.
I'm going to cut.
This conversation's over.
Cut that little section and put that to the front of this episode. That's our cold open. He said yes.
Where PJ agreed. So, Shanna, did you tell PJ?
No, but if you want to tell him, you can.
What?
So, PJ, you know the argument you've been having on Reddit?
With Phoenix, yes. 411?
I haven't been on in a while. I wonder if they're still talking. Phoenix, are you out there?
I just, do you see my computer screen?
No, you're blurry.
Oh, no. Are you Phoenix?
No, so my gamer tag on Call of Duty and all that is Phoenix. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to see if I can get him, because I couldn't get into Reddit under my name. And then when you started in with the dwarf planet, and I was like, I just got you. And then I told Shanna, I was like, Shanna, don't say anything to him. Just
yeah, because our conversation, she's just like, by the way, I'm Phoenix. I go, we're not going to tell PJ. We're going to see how long we can get this going on. Well, thank you so much, Jackie, for being fantastic. I hope the men in black don't come to get you.
Me too.
So if you disappear now, it'll be really hard for them to explain that away.
That's right. We're looking at you, men in black.
Be a little conspicuous. Suspicious.
There's people that have seen me. They've heard my voice.
If you're in trouble, say the word pineapple. But anyway, so thank you so much. And now we've done an episode on Roswell. Just saying. Yeah. But anyway, have a lovely week, Jackie, and to all of our listeners, thank you for listening. And please send us your awesome ideas. We'd love to hear them so we can put them on the show. Tim, wherever you are, hi, we miss you. Carrie, thank you for the book, Alien Encounters, by Rupert Matthews. But I'll let Jackie say our closing line. Go ahead, Jackie. And as always,
think spooky thoughts.